14, verses 10 through 12. That's Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God.
Good to be with you tonight. Glad we have a good crowd this evening. Appreciate everyone's presence. Last week, we talked a little bit about judging. And we emphasized at that time that a lot of people have a misunderstanding about judging, particularly those who sort of have a surface knowledge of the Bible, many who haven't really read the Bible, but perhaps they've heard a quote or two from it. And so they conclude that the Bible teaches we're never, ever to judge others. And we looked last week at John chapter 7, verse 24, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So in one verse, we're told in the Bible, judge not, but judge. So obviously, there's a right way and there's a wrong way to judge. Well, last week we looked at the wrong way to judge. And we looked at several things at that time. We said it is wrong to judge the hearts of others. And that is precisely because we just aren't capable of reading hearts and deciphering motives. That is God's business. We see that He sees in a way that man does not. God can read the hearts of others. He can read our hearts. But we're just not capable of doing that. And so if you find yourself trying to do that, you know that you're about to judge in a wrong or incorrect manner. Then we said also that it's wrong to judge with the wrong standard. And so we have to make absolutely sure that when we're passing judgment, that we're using the Word of God as the basis of that judgment. John 12, verse 48, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. So we have to make sure that that's the standard. It's not our opinion. It's not our own philosophy or our own theory. It's the Word of God. And using anything else other than that is the wrong judgment. We saw, the scripture reading in Romans chapter 4 just a moment ago, or chapter 14 rather, just a moment ago. And Paul was dealing in that context. And by the way, that is another passage taken out of context. Sometimes by brethren even, who conclude that we're never to judge a brother. But Paul was dealing in that text with matters of indifference. And you say, what is a matter of indifference? It's something where God has not commanded, He has not set forth any legislation upon, and therefore He really doesn't care in those areas what we decide to do. Dealing, of course, as most of you know, in Romans 14, with things such as eating meat. Well, God can care less whether you eat meat or you're a vegetarian. It doesn't matter to Him. He has set forth no law with regard to that. So if I eat meat and I judge you for not eating meat, then that's incorrect judgment. That's not using the Word of God as the standard. That's just using my own opinion with regard to that. And that's a problem. So we need to avoid that. We said it is wrong to judge according to appearance. Again, that is John 7 at verse 24. So we have to be careful, and this is a very easy thing to do, but we have to be careful that we're not just listening to gossip, we're not just going by hearsay. That's to judge according to appearance, and things aren't always what they seem to be. So we have to make sure that we have all the facts involved. And again, we're not just listening to the grapevine and such. And so we have to avoid that. It is wrong to judge hypocritically. And that's what the main passage that people turn to, Matthew chapter 7, to say the Bible says we should judge. That's taken from that particular passage. But that passage is specifically dealing with hypocritical judgment. And so when we go around judging other people and we have unrepented sin in our own life, that's wrong judgment. And so we have to be careful about that. And then we close simply by saying it is wrong to be judgmental. Just in general, we have to be careful about that. And there are some in the church who are very judgmental. Like they're hypercritical about everything. They see faults everywhere. And that just it does not make for peace within a local congregation. It's not what you want to be. Don't be hypercritical. Judging everything that other people do. Because that is probably those most people who are like that don't see their own faults. And so it goes back to being hypocritical. But that's just not a good spirit, a good characteristic to have. Just to be judgmental overall. So that's the wrong way to judge. Now we want to look tonight, just for a few minutes, at the right way to judge. And when we stop and think about the right way to judge, what we really could do is really we could just go back for a second and we could take all of these things and just flip them. And for example, it's wrong to judge the hearts of others. So right judgment is judging the fruit of others. Or it's wrong to use the wrong standard. That's wrong judgment. And so right judgment would simply be using the right standard. Then we could go down the line. That would be very repetitive, though. But that is the right way to judge, the very opposite of the wrong way to judge. But instead of going through that, I want to take just a few minutes tonight by emphasizing one thing, and that is right judgment is to judge with the right attitude. And that's very, very important when it comes to judging. We have to have the right attitude. Sometimes your discernment, when you're passing judgment, your discernment might be right. But if your attitude is wrong, it still ends up being wrong judgment. So we have to make sure that we have the right attitude when we judge. And there's three things I want to point out, again, just very quickly tonight. One, we must judge with love. Like, why would I ever judge a brother? Why would I ever judge anybody? It shouldn't be because I have a holier-than-thou mentality. It should be something I'm doing out of anger. I shouldn't simply be trying to embarrass someone. And the list goes on of things that would be the wrong attitude and motive behind judging. The only reason I should engage in any activity that would be considered judging is because of the deep concern and consideration, the deep love I have for the souls of others. And that's why we engage in judging in the first place. We're trying to warn individuals. We're trying to help individuals because we love them and we are concerned about their soul. And that should always be present. That should be the main motivation. Whenever we find ourselves in the position where we're judging someone, that should be what's motivating us to do it. You remember, of course, when Paul gave us this teaching on love, as well we said, he personified love. And he says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And he is saying there, we have pointed out before, he's basically saying, you give others the benefit of the doubt. And you're always, you're hoping for the best And so you don't go into a situation where you're passing judgment and you're hoping for a bad outcome. That certainly isn't an attitude of love. We need to be very loving. And remember, love always acts in the best interest of whatever it is that is loved. That's what moves us to judge someone in the first place. We're acting in their best interest. If you're just trying to embarrass someone, or you're moved again out of your own anger, you just get mad because someone has done something that's contrary to the will of God, and so you act out of anger, that is not going to help you to do what's in the best interest of that person. Love always has to be the main motivation. 1 Peter 4 and at verse 8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. And then he says, since love covers a multitude of sins. That's what we're after when we are passing judgment. And Peter here, when he says love covers sin, he's not talking about love sweeping sin under the rug. He's not talking about love covering sin by ignoring it. He's talking about those who love will do the right thing and will help the person who is involved in sin overcome that sin. It may involve rebuking. Whatever it is, again, judgment is involved in that. But we're doing it because we want to help the person. And when we lead that person in a different direction than they're going, we save them from death, James says. And so it's very critical that we act with love. That's the motivation behind it. Here's another attitude. We must judge with compassion. Whenever you find yourself in the position where you're judging someone, you should be filled with compassion. Let's not forget, when we flip back over to the main passage, Matthew chapter 7, with regard to judging, don't forget, at verse 2, Matthew 7 and at verse 2, that Jesus says, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Let me ask you, when God judges you, do you want Him to have some mercy? Do you want Him to be compassionate? Of course you do. But Jesus is warning us here, if that's what you want, you better be compassionate to others when you're passing judgment. There needs to be some kindness always. That's the opposite of going to someone in anger and in a very harsh way with hostility. No, there's compassion and kindness behind it. And that is critical. That's the way we want to be judged. That's the way that we should judge others. And James chapter 2 at verse 12. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So stop and think about that. Again, we're going to be judged the same way we judge other people. That's what James said. Judgment is without mercy to the one who shows no mercy. You always want to be merciful. You always want to be compassionate. First of all, we want to be as much like God as we can possibly be. And that's who he is. In all of His power and magnificence, He is a merciful, compassionate, and kind God. And that's the best way for us to help other people. A passage that comes to my mind is 2 Timothy. Let's to turn over there for a moment. And I want you to notice what he says about instructing others. 2 Timothy. And let's see. Down 2 Timothy chapter 2. Is what we want. And verse 24 says this. This is 2 Timothy 2 at verse 24. It says, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. So someone is involved in evil. Keep in mind, this is not an ignoring of sin.
But people in this world, everyone's at a different place. And there's some people who are involved in sin. There's no doubt about it. And sometimes brethren fall back into sin, and they need to be dealt with. We don't ignore their sin or anything like that. They need to be dealt with. The question is, how do we deal with them? And Paul here tells us that we need to patiently endure. In other words, we need to work with them patiently. And he says, correcting, so that means again, there's no ignoring of it, that the one involved in evil needs to be corrected, but how? Correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Isn't that what we're after whenever we're passing judgment? Isn't that our goal? To help the person, whoever we're dealing with. And by the way, this is talking about judgment. When it says correcting his opponents, you're involved. That's an act of judgment when you're doing that. But how should you do it? In such a way that person is going to hear the truth. Remember, the basis of our judgment is always the Word of God. But how can we best get that person who needs correcting to respond favorably to the Word of God? You don't do it by being harsh and mean, even in the words that you speak and how you deliver the message. You do it by being compassionate. You do it by being kind and merciful. And that's the way we ought to judge. Luke chapter 6 at verse 36 and 37, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And the message is, you treat others the way you want to be treated. You know what we call that? The golden rule. And so think about that whenever it is time for you to judge. And then number three, we must judge with consideration of self. And there's humility involved in that. So again, it's not an act of arrogancy. You don't, as we said, you try not to come across whenever you're judging someone, whether it involves exhorting, rebuking, or whatever it is, just instructing, trying to correct. Whenever you do that, you don't want them to get the sense that you feel like you're better than they are. Because the truth is, if that's what you think, you're wrong. Because you're not better than anyone. And I'm not better than anyone. We're all sinners. We've been forgiven by the grace of God. And fortunately, we're in a right standing with Him. But any of us, and I mean any of us here tonight, could slip and fall, we can stumble, and we can find ourselves in sin. And whenever you're trying to help someone else, you need to remember that. And Paul tells us, you remember in Galatians 6 and at verse 1, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. There's that compassion. That keeps coming up, doesn't it? In our dealing with other people, even in passing of judgment, we have to be gentle. But now watch, he says, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Because any of us can give in to sin. We're planning not to. We're praying for strength and doing what we can to be strong in the Lord, but any of us can fall into sin. Any of us can put our guard down and be attacked by the devil and overcome. And so think about that. When you're dealing with someone else, just remember yourself. And so have the right attitude. At the end of the day, as we said, all the things we said about wrong judgment, it all stands true. We have to use the right standard. There's no doubt about that. And people, sometimes they need the correcting, they need the instruction. But what's our attitude when we judge? We have to judge. Remember, don't judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Both sides, both parts of that verse set forth imperatives. They're commands. We cannot, we're commanded not to judge according to appearance, but we are commanded to judge righteous judgment. And a part of that is doing it with the right attitude, with love, with compassion and kindness, and also considering yourself. If it wasn't for the grace of God, it could be you. And so, another passage there with the parable that you're very familiar with. We'll not go over that now. Furthers the same point. We don't want to be like the Pharisee. I'm glad I'm not like him. He had blinders on. He thought he was better than the publican. That's what we think sometimes. Whenever you start thinking, I'm better, you're on the wrong track. And your judgment is probably not going to be very good. And so, let's just think about these things. Judging is a very important thing. Sometimes we have to do it, avoid being judgmental, but sometimes we have to pass judgment. Let's make sure we have the right attitude when we do. And subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ, as we said in the lesson, one thing we should be just thrilled about, one thing that should be very comforting to you, is that we serve a Heavenly Father that is compassionate. He is merciful. Aren't you glad that God doesn't act according to the cold principle of justice, and that's all? God is a God of justice. As we've said, He doesn't. We should, because He never sweeps sin under the rug. He's light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. So He simply cannot ignore sin. He can't fellowship sin. It goes against His very nature. He is a just God. Fortunately, He rises above justice, and He offers mercy. Because with pure justice, there is no second chance. With pure justice, there is no clemency. With pure justice, there is no forgiving. You need mercy for that. And we serve a merciful God. So if you're here tonight and you're not right with Him, God will extend you mercy. But you have to obey the gospel of Christ. You have to repent and be baptized, Acts 2 and at verse 38. You must be baptized for the remission of sin. It must be done in the name of or by the authority of Jesus Christ. And if you do that, your sins will be forgiven. If you're a child of God, you need to repent, ask God for forgiveness. Peter said, repent and pray God, Acts 8 at verse 22. You need to do that. If you need to come forward, you need some prayers in the church, you have sinned publicly, then do that. And we'll pray for you, and we'll be compassionate. And we'll try to help you to the very best of our ability, and we'll continue to pray for you. But do what is right. Thank God. He is a God of second chances. Take advantage of it right now as we together stand and serve.